Great to have you with us for this edition of Garden Talk. Here's something you may not know. Today, according to Jeff Robbins, is National Houseplant Appreciation Day. And so it seems like a good time to turn our attention to some houseplants who could also be are also growing outdoors. Succulents have become pretty popular in the last few years. And on Garden Talk today, we'll zero in on succulents a bit and cactus with an expert about what you need to know to be a successful grower. And our guest is John Bagnasco. He has been in the gardening industry for over 50 years, president of Garden America. It's a nationally syndicated radio show. He is also a garden book author and also an amateur rose breeder and has introduced over a dozen new roses. So as we talk with him, I hope you'll join in. What questions do you have about growing succulents or maybe roses or other plants? I think John can pretty much take any of those plant questions that you might have. Number to call, 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. John, welcome to the show. John's with us by phone today. Thank you very much for joining us.
Good to be here, Larry. Thanks so much for having me.
You've had a long career in gardening. What got you into it?
It's a long story, but basically I was going to Michigan State University in my junior year, and I was majoring in accounting, and I was in an accounting class. At the end of the class, I thought I could do this the rest of my life, and I hate everything about it. And I was living in a co-op with some other guys, and I used to help one of the guys with his homework every night, and he was majoring in horticulture, and I thought, this is just not fair. His homework is fun. So I went to see my counselor after that class, and he said, well, you know, you're going into your senior year. You have the business background. If you take just hort classes, you can get a degree in horticultural marketing. So I ended up taking only hort classes, got a 4 points so I could raise my average. So I graduated with honors, and the rest is history.
Oh, that's a great story. It's sort of like my own. I was taking a class in radio broadcasting in my senior year, and the professor was also hosting a radio show at WPR, and he asked me if I'd be interested in going on for a graduate degree, but I would have to do the radio program for him while he was in Colorado teaching a course. That's sort of fell into it a little bit along the way. Well, listen, gardening, I'm sure gardening, or maybe I should say, how has gardening improved your life?
Well, I guess you could say, is gardening my life? Because that's pretty much it. You know, if you have my philosophy has always been, if you have a passion about doing something, you'll be successful if you incorporate it into your work life. And that's pretty much what I've done. You know, liking plants, I think, changed my life because after waiting 4 or 5 years for a tree wisteria in Michigan to finally bud up and then having a late freeze kill it, I decided I've just got to go somewhere where it doesn't freeze. So we moved to California in 1977, and I've been here ever since. And if you love plants, this is a great place to be.
Susan in Rhinelander has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Susan.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I was saying to the screener that I had a bit of a mini disaster this week where even though I've kept a heater in a three-season porch for several years without a problem, of course I had a circuit breaker blow and I wasn't aware, and it basically took out all of my house plants in that room, which I overwinter and have done so successfully for many years. So it's very tragic, if you can hear the sadness in my voice.
Yes.
Yeah, beautiful, you know, Christmas cactuses and the like, which clearly didn't survive. But my question is, I had a 4-foot by 3-foot, a very large Schefflera, which I successfully overwintered, kept it outside all year and brought it in. Is there any chance at all that that could have survived those cold, cold temps, even if the foliage looks dead? Do you think watering it and just cutting it back?
What do you think, John?
First of all, when plants freeze, especially tropicals, you know, they have thin cell walls, and the cells in those walls burst. And so, obviously, if the leaves have undergone those cold temperatures, they're dead. So the question is going to be whether or not any of the wood survived. And the one thing you don't want to do is water. You said, you know, maybe I should water it and see if it comes back. Well, the plant can't use water right now. It's under stress from the freeze. So the main thing would be to get it in a warmer area and keep it on the dry side. Only water it when it's completely dry. And if it's still alive, it will come back eventually. I would say in a couple days, if you just took your thumbnail and scraped the bark, if it was still green under there, that would be a good chance that it may come back.
Yeah, I think that's well put. And Susan, what the heck have we got to lose? You know, there's no reason why you shouldn't bring it in someplace warmer and don't water and see what happens. There you go.
And see how much fun it's going to be going out and shopping for new plants.
Yeah, that's the other side of it. In terms of succulents, have you seen an increase in interest in the last few years, John?
Yeah, you know, it depends what types of succulents and where you are in the country or in the world. Oh, about 10, 12 years ago in Korea, they were going crazy for new varieties of echeveria. And they would come to California and buy thousands and thousands of plants at a time for shipping over there. And now they've kind of changed. Either they have their own breeding or the fashion has moved on to different types of plants. And in California, of course, because of the warmer weather, I think it was about maybe 20 years ago now, my friend Deborah Lee Baldwin wrote a book about landscaping with succulents. And that's when it became really popular out here. And then, of course, things that are popular outdoors in warmer climates become popular indoors in other climates. But you do have to learn how to adjust the conditions that they're growing under. Succulents and cactus are highlight plants for the most part. So if you're going to be growing them indoors, you want the varieties that are lower light tolerant. And what I see happening now is there's, just like it's happened with roses, you know, in the last 100 years, there's new breeding going on with succulents. Some breeders out in California, Renee O'Connell and Kelly Griffin, are producing new varieties of succulents that are better as houseplants, but also more attractive. I mean, you can take a regular species that might have, I'll say, kind of a bluish green color, and then, you know, develop it so that there's dark purples or yellows or oranges in some of those species. So I think what you say is true, but I think that they've been popular for a while now. So now the trend is moving towards collector's items, and not only rare species, but the newer hybrids.
Okay. You've written, what, 4 books on succulents, if I'm not mistaken. What's the main attraction for you personally?
Well, you know, I've written 3 books on succulents, 1 book on houseplants, and my passion right now is actually roses, but both of them both roses and succulents can stick you. So I guess maybe pain is the attraction. But through my career, Larry, if you're really interested in plants, it's a whole world that's impossible to learn in 1 or 2 years. So I focused on different families of plants. And I collected and learned about each group and then would move on to another group. So once I moved to California, I was excited about, you know, being able to grow a lot of the plants we grew in Michigan indoors. I could now grow them outdoors. And cactus and succulents struck my fancy, and I got all 10 volumes of the Euphorbia Journal and read that and collected euphorbias for a while, and then sansevierias for a while, and before I moved on to roses. And I think just learning everything there is about a plant family and its idiosyncrasies and characteristics is something that interests me.
Yeah. Here's a question from Jude in Appleton. She has a beautiful Amazon lily. It's about 35 years old. It has mealy bugs, and about once every other month, she has to spray it with 7 and wipe every leaf off. That's fine and clean, but in another few weeks, the mealy bugs are back. And she's wondering what else she can do.
Well, I don't know about the 7. For years, people have treated mealy bug just by dipping Q-tips in rubbing alcohol and rubbing them off, and the alcohol, you know, will penetrate the insect's bodies and desiccate them. And, you know, not being that familiar with what's available on indoor plants like I used to be when I was in Michigan, but I know that Bayer used to have a systemic houseplant food that you could just put right in the soil. And that is really good at, that type of product is really good at deterring sucking insects.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good piece of advice, John. John Bagnasco has been in the gardening industry for over 50 years, president of Garden America. Now, it's a nationally syndicated radio show. I'm going to ask him about that as well as we move along today. You may have a question. We've zeroed in on succulents and cactus, but taking other questions as well. The number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email us, and the email address, talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Thanks so much for joining us today on Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here with my guest, John Bagnasco, who has been in the gardening industry for over 50 years, president of Garden America, a nationally syndicated radio show, and talking with him today about, well, about a lot of things. We've zeroing in a bit on succulents and cactus, but taking other questions as well as we move along today, and I hope you join in. Number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. Those who like tequila, John, probably know it comes from a cactus. I wanted to talk a little bit about cactus with you and other succulents as well, of course. But what are there other commercial uses that succulents have?
Oh, yeah. Aloe was probably the biggest, you know. Aloe gel is used in all kinds of products, you know, from shampoos to skin ointments. So I would say that's the biggest. And, you know, technically tequila's from an agave, which is a succulent, not a cactus. But that's another use, and there's several drinks for that. So, there's all, you know, I was just thinking during the break about all the the different things that are going on with plants today. And I don't know if it's artificial intelligence or if it's the internet making information available, but so many changes are occurring. You know, on our show last week, a caller let me know that she had ordered the new firefly petunia. And I don't know if you're aware of that, but it's a petunia that glows in the dark.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, you know, there's just no end to what's happening today. Things are moving so fast, it's hard to keep up.
It is indeed. I'm reading a fascinating book right now on biorhythms and so forth in people, but plants also have various rhythms, and the author was talking about sunflowers and how sunflowers that are, you know, grown outside, they face the east in the morning, and they turn as it gets dark, they turn and face west.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and then there's also the studies on communications with plants and whether plants can actually speak to each other. I remember way back in, I used to work for a nursery in Detroit called Frank's Nursery. And back then it was in like around 1970 when there was a houseplant craze, and Jerry Baker wrote a book called Plants Are Like People. And back then, he kind of supposed that you could talk to plants and treat them as you would people. And even though it sounded crazy back then, you know, a lot of that is coming to have some substance to it.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? Iris in Madison has something for us. Let's go there. Iris, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yes, hello. I have a couple of lemon trees I grew from seed, and they do fine, but they are losing regularly leaves, and I wonder if it's related to I fertilize it with some citrus fertilizer powder form and dissolve it in water and then fertilize it. But how often, I'm not quite sure. And then if the losing the leaves is normal, and it seems like the water isn't really the issue. It's the fertilizer maybe, but the color of the rest of the tree looks good. And it's just certain leaves, it drops regularly, the leaves drop. And that's my question, what I could do.
Okay.
Well, my guess would be that the leaf drop is probably heavier this time of year, and it's because of lower light conditions. They need a lot of light in order to hold on to their leaves. And when there's not enough light, the plants will drop some of their leaves. But also, leaf drop is natural throughout the year because even if a plant is evergreen, like a citrus, it doesn't mean that one leaf is going to live forever. The older leaves towards the inside of the plant will drop occasionally. But if I was you, I would make sure you do not fertilize during the winter at all. The plant doesn't really need extra food when it's in kind of a dormant stage or a resting period until, I would say, your first feeding. You'd probably want, as the days get longer and the temperatures warm up, so maybe the end of April, 1st of May, and then once a month till about August would be fine. And it really doesn't need much more than that. Also, cut back on the water during the winter, unless you have it in a room where you've got gas heat and the temperatures are dry, then you might want to set it in a saucer with pebbles on the bottom to try to increase the humidity around the plants.
Yeah. And as for the leaves, my own experience with citrus is that the leaves always dropped in the fall off of my lime tree. And the tree would then make new leaves that were a different kind of leaf. I think to make up for the difference in the lack of light or the lower light conditions. And really, the leaves that come back have a quite different look and texture and so forth than the leaves that that may be dying off on you right now.
Yeah, you know, the leaves have a waxy layer called a cuticle, and the cuticle's a protective layer to keep the leaves from being burned in the light. So it reduces the amount of light actually coming into the plant. When the plant gets moved indoors, because of the thick cuticle, the plant's not getting enough light. So those leaves with a thicker cuticle will drop, and then the new ones that come out will have its inner cuticle. But then it's also important to remember in the spring that you don't want to put it right into the sun, because it would be like you going to the beach with in the spring without any suntan lotion on. You would burn. The same thing would happen to these leaves with a center cuticle.
There you go, Aris. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Don in Bayfield has a question. Let's go to Don. Hi, Don.
Hi. Are African violets considered succulents?
No, African violets are in a family called Gesneriades, and they some of the leaves have a succulent quality to them, but they're not a true succulent, so they're not drought tolerant. And it, you know, different species in that family have more succulent characteristics. Not so much the violet, but the stems on it, you know, do hold a lot of water. So if you cut a stem, you know, and squeeze it, you can feel the moist characteristics of it.
Yeah. Don, did you have another question relating to that?
Super info. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Someone else is wondering, why don't succulents need a lot of water?
Well, they have water, you know, this is one of the fascinating things about how plants adapt to their environment all over the world. And succulents and cacti have developed in dry climates where they have to survive without long periods of water. So they have water storing capabilities within the plant. The cells can hold a lot of water during dry periods. Another unique thing that they have is, I don't want to scare anybody, but it's called crassulacean acid metabolism. That's just the kind of the opposite of the way normal plants take in carbon dioxide. A lot of the succulents will have their stomata closed during the day, so they're not using carbon dioxide, but they'll open them at night. And because they're closed during the day, the plant's not losing water. So they've made these adaptations to grow in dry areas.
Really interesting. Carol in Madison emailed, she seems to struggle with fuzzy succulents. Hers seem to go yellow and die off around the edges most of the year. What's the general rule for light with these types of succulents? Do you have any other advice for care of these plants?
Yeah, it depends on the succulent. Usually fuzzy succulents have adapted, and cacti, have adapted the fuzziness to stop them from burning. So they're native to areas with high light intensity, high sun intensity, and the fuzziness will protect them. So those are going to be less likely to do well indoors where you need higher light. Indoors, you might want to use things like Haworthias or Gasterias or Sansevieria. Things like true cactus really don't do well indoors. They'll get a lot of etiolated growth without the light. So if you are growing cactus indoors, the one thing you want to remember is that you're just going to try to keep it alive through the winter until spring comes. So keep it in a window with as much light as possible, cut back on the fertilizer and the water, and cross your fingers and hope that they survive till spring.
Do all cacti have thorns?
Yes, and you know, only cactus have thorns. Succulents don't. There's no cactus native to the Old World. They're all New World plants. But the Old World does have succulents, and they have spines like euphorbias and things like that, but they're not true cactus.
Yeah. What's the purpose of the thorns?
To keep people from eating them or keep animals from eating them.
Yeah?
Yeah. And of course, you know, I should have answered your question more specifically. Not all cactus have thorns. There are epiphyllums, of course, that have no thorns. The Christmas cactus is probably one of the more common ones. But those cactus are native to wetter areas.
Annette in Green Bay has a question for us. Let's go there. Hi, Annette.
Yes, hi, good morning. Well, good afternoon. And maybe you just mentioned the word epiphyllum. Those are, I bought a couple of them, and they get really long, lanky leaves, and then they flower perhaps at night. Did I say that correctly? And I'm just wondering about the care for them. Can they handle some sun, or do they have to just be in the shade?
Well, yeah, you're correct. They're epiphyllum. And they're native to rainforests, like areas in Brazil and the Amazon. And they're epiphytic in nature, which means that they don't grow on the ground. They grow in trees. And because they grow in trees, they have perfect drainage. So they do need a lot of light, but direct sun could burn the leaves. You know, if they were in the house, that's probably not as much of a problem. When you put them outdoors in the spring, in summer, probably an eastern exposure would be best for them, where they could get the morning sun, but not hot enough to burn the leaves. And some of the species are night blooming. But most of them bloom during the day, and the blooms usually only last one day or 2 days. But they're really spectacular when they do bloom. And usually the bloom is dependent on them getting enough light during the winter.
Makes sense. Annette, thank you so much for calling. Let's go to Jerry in Kokana. Hi, Jerry.
Yes, hello. Quick question. I have an aloe plant that probably should have been transplanted long ago. And that stem, I guess you'd call it, is kind of below the leaves part. It's sticking out of the plant about 5-6 inches. And it's kind of starting to twist, too, probably trying to go towards the sun or something. How would I transplant something like that?
Well, if I was you, I'd wait till spring to transplant because it is kind of in a resting state right now. And the important thing to remember when you transplant would be to use a quick-draining soil. You can get cactus and succulent mixes specifically, but you can use any type of houseplant soil if you mix 50% perlite with it, perlite or pumice, so half that and half potting soil. Mixed up would give you a good mix for that. And that little trunk you're talking about is natural as aloes get older. There's some tree aloes that get to be like 20 feet tall and have trunks with just that aloe part that you see up on top. So that's kind of natural as the plant ages.
Oh, interesting. Thank you, Jerry, for calling. Appreciate it. Jim in Kenosha, your turn. Hi, Jim.
Hi, I love this show. I wanted to start a discussion about how these plants in the desert know when the seeds know when to germinate, because if they germinate on just a little bit of moisture, they'll pop up and die. And some seeds have they have this wonderful design where they can sense the salinity of the water. So if there's just a little bit of rain swishing up the mud and stuff, it's not enough. But if there's a torrent in the desert, the water will dilute and the seeds can sense that low salinity, and then they'll bloom. Now, I read this article a long time ago, but I can't remember what plants they're talking about, and I hope you can include this in the discussion because it's very fascinating.
Yeah, interesting, Jim. Thanks. John, are you familiar with any of that?
Yeah, you know, it's amazing how plants know when they should germinate and when they shouldn't. And a lot of times, the germination is controlled by more than one factor. Like I believe it was Jim was just talking about, sometimes it can be the amount of water or the salinity of the water, but sometimes coupled with that, it's day length also. So the plant knows just when it is to germinate. Fortunately, the cactus and cyclamens don't get tricked very often because you have a rainy season and a not rainy season.
Yeah.
You know, here in Southern California, we have the last time it rained significantly here was 10 months ago. So we've gone virtually 10 months with no rain. And a lot of the plants just, you know, are trying to hold on and survive until the rains come.
And I should have asked you earlier, you're in Southern California. You're away from the fires there?
Yeah, we're in San Diego, so L.A.'s about an hour and a half from us. And unfortunately, right now there's no abatement to those fires. They're only about less than 10% contained. So our hearts and prayers go out to the people who are experiencing that.
John Bagnasco, our guest today, been in the gardening industry over 50 years, president of Garden America. It's a nationally syndicated radio show. Great to have him with us. Questions for John? I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk and WPR News. Great to have you with us here on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. Next week on Garden Talk, we'll take a look at garden design trends for 2025 with a trend spotter from Monrovia. We'll also talk about the best way to provide light for your indoor plants. Right now, visiting with John Bagnasco, who is a garden expert, over 50 years of experience, president of Garden America, a nationally syndicated radio show. And again, if you have a question, I hope you'll join us at 800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Jim wanted to know about tips you might have for getting succulents to bloom.
Almost always it's going to be dependent on the amount of light that they get. And depending on what family or what genus the succulent is in, you might want to just Google some information on when the bloom time is for that particular plant. Plants that are going to bloom during the summer are probably going to be more likely to bloom, but winter blooming plants may not bloom as easily indoors because they would be exposed to more light in their native habitats. Yeah. So kind of try to figure out the seasons and the times. And then I remember back in Michigan trying to make sure that the Christmas cactus would bloom on time or would bloom at all, that that one of the things that triggered the bloom there was the cooler temperatures. So usually you would try to keep them in an unheated porch until they set buds. So it's important to learn where the plant is native to and what does trigger the bloom. But using a high bloom fertilizer or, trying to fertilize, it's not going to help cactus or succulents bloom.
Elka, who is in Empire, Michigan, has a question. Let's go there. That relates to blooming, I believe. Hi, Elka.
Hello. I have a question about what I'm supposed to do in the summertime.
Okay, and what do you have?
I have a Hoya, and it's quite big, and it's doing all the things it's supposed to do to bloom. There must be something I'm not doing right, because I hardly get any bloom. What am I now? Am I supposed to put it in a dark area now in the winter?
No. Always give the Hoyas as much light as possible. But a tip to remember is when the Hoya does bloom, that when the blooms fall off, don't cut that little stem, because it's always going to bloom from that same spot. So if you cut that off when it's done blooming, you're cutting off future blooms for that. So always leave those on. And then give it as much light as possible all year long, except in the winter. Now keep it on the dry side, but still as much light as possible. But only water it when it gets dry, really dry.
Grow lights might be useful in that case in Empire, Michigan, I would perhaps think, John.
Grow lights, I think, Larry, would be good for any cactus or succulent during the winter if you had them. It's not going to put them under natural growing conditions, but it is going to make the winter less difficult for them to get through. So, yeah, great idea.
And we'll be talking more about grow lights and lighting in general on next Friday's program, as a matter of fact. Dot in Chippewa Falls, we'll go to you. Hi, Dot.
Hi. I have a Hindu rope plant. They also call it a Carnosa compacta, and it's 10 to 12 feet long, but it's very hard to move it, because it's a hanging plant, and I want to find the best way to clean it.
Well, you know, that's a Hoya. It's, as you said, Hoya carnosa compacta, and that's what we were just talking about. One of the problems with that is that particular plant is the leaves are so twisted that it's easy for dust and then a buildup of insects that hide in those crevices and those twists and turns. So if you can't move it, that's kind of difficult for cleaning it. If you could, of course, you could take it and put it in the bathtub or the shower, not necessarily to water the pot itself, but just to hose down the leaves. They're waxy leaves, so getting a stream of water in there will wash out and keep it clean. And it's also going to, you know, it's really going to help keeping it free of insects. But that's something you have to be careful of. If you do have mealybug, which is common on those, we were talking earlier about dipping a Q-tip in rubbing alcohol and then just rubbing that off. So that'll help. But that's a plant that's fascinated me ever since I was a kid. And when they bloom, the blooms are so fragrant. The same holds true, like we were talking to the previous caller about, once they bloom, make sure that you don't cut off that stem, because it's always going to bloom from that spot.
Yeah. Dot, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Well, we have an email from Deb in Sturgeon Bay and Tucson. She's in Arizona right now in Tucson, and then in May they come back to Wisconsin. They have a small area in front of their Tucson home and would like to put in some cactuses. They don't want to have to water it while they're not there. Is there a cactus you can recommend that can handle some tender, loving care for the first 4 months, but then be left alone until they return in the fall?
Well, you know, the iconic symbol of Arizona is the saguaro cactus, and they never need any care once they're planted. You can put them in the ground, and they'll take care of themselves. You don't have to do a single thing to them. And there's other plants that are succulents that are blooming, like ocotillos, which get the pretty red flowers in the spring, probably while they're still out there, that they could put that, you know, once they're established, again, they need no care whatsoever. So one thing I might recommend is driving around the neighborhood and looking and see what other people have in their yards, and it'll just give you an idea of what might grow, and seeing it in another yard will give you an idea of what it would look like in your yard.
Yeah. I have some family members living in Tucson, and the ocotillo is there. It's very pretty plants in my mind, and don't seem to require a whole lot of care, to be perfectly honest. And the saguaro, I know there was, are they commercially available? Do you know off the top of your head, John? I know there some problems with, at one point, a lot of them being, you know, pirated out of the desert and then resold.
Well, that's the larger ones, yeah, and that's going to be a problem. You don't want to buy anything that's been illegally harvested, but you can even order those online if the local garden center doesn't have them. They're grown from seed and readily available. You know, for your listeners, Altman Plants is the world's largest cactus grower, and they're based actually all over the country, but they have cactus growing areas in I believe Texas, Florida, and California. But if you go to Amazon and just look for Altman Plants, they've got a great store, online store, and I believe you can even order, you know, small saguaros from them. But I think your person in Tucson would want to start with a little larger one. So I think they'll be available in maybe like a 5-gallon can, which would be perfect for letting it survive while they're gone.
Yeah. So Altman's is a good place to buy. Are they good for... You know, I'm thinking about resources for buying unusual succulents. You know, taking some chances.
The two breeders that I mentioned earlier, Kelly Griffin and Ronay O'Connell, are breeders for Altman Plants. And you can probably look Kelly Griffin up on the internet. He may have a website, or there certainly will be cactus and succulent websites that talk about him and all the new plants that he's coming out with. But yeah, the Altman's is by far going to be the best selection, I would say, in the country.
Yeah. Well, from low care succulents to maybe high care roses, your interests are certainly varied. And how did you just get into breeding roses?
Well, you know, earlier in the show, we were talking about how to break down the horticultural gardening world.
Yeah.
I studied one section of plants at a time. And about 20 years ago, I got into roses. And now I'm to the age where I can't really change. So I'm just sticking with that. And it was just, there's so much to know about roses. That's another hour show for us to talk about, but the history behind them is unbelievable, and you can learn so much about history, and there's so many types, and there's so much breeding going on today that I just thought that it would be interesting to do. So
yeah,
that's how I got into that.
Well, yeah, we'll get you back to talk about roses. What does it mean to be a breeder? I mean, what do you do?
Well, I look at breeding plant. You know, breeding is a form of art. You know, you've got a painter or a sculptor, and they're working with oils or stone to create something for you to use. Well, breeders are just working with a natural media. They're working with living material and creating something new. So I think in any species of plant, the breeder has in mind characteristics he would want to use in order to create a new plant with new characteristics. And so I've always looked at breeders as just artists working in a living medium.
Carol in Waukesha has a quick little note for us, I think. Hi, Carol.
Hi. Yeah, I lived in Tucson for 10 years and was active in, no, 20 years. I was active with the Tucson Cactus and Succulent Society. They rescue plants from the bulldozers, and they have sales several times a year of all sizes, mostly barrels and smaller cactus, but you never know.
Yeah.
Also, the home deals of the meat box stores have local saguaros in 10, like in 5-gallon pots.
Carol, thank you for calling. So the Cactus Rescue Society, another place to purchase cactus for our earlier emailer there from, it was Deb in Sturgeon Bay in Tucson. So thank you very much for that. The radio show, how's the radio show going?
It's doing really well. We changed our format a couple years ago, and it's much easier for us to do. Now we do the show live on Facebook at 8 o'clock Pacific time, which I think would be 10 o'clock Central time. And you can interact with the show live on Facebook, and we record that show and then put it the commercials in later, and we send it out to radio stations across the country the following week. So if you are in a city that gets the show, you're hearing it a week late. But if you want to interact and do it live, just go to Garden America Radio Show on Facebook, and we're there. It'll be starting at 10 o'clock your time.
Well, I've been doing this show. I'm on every weekday, but Fridays are always garden days, and it's always fun to be able to talk to gardeners, and we have some pretty smart ones here in Wisconsin. And if you make a mistake or you don't know something, pretty much you just have to wait a few minutes and somebody's going to call in with the answer.
Yeah, it's always amazing how much listeners know. Never underestimate their knowledge.
It's a lot of fun to do, and I enjoy it. And it sure sounds like you enjoy it, too. You're going to keep doing it, I'm sure.
As long as God lets me do it, I plan on being active.
John, a pleasure. We'll try and get you back to talk roses. Would you be willing to do that?
Not only would I be willing, it might have to be 2 hours.
There we go. John, thank you so much.
John, thank you, Larry.
Yeah, John Bagnasco, gardening industry for a long, long time, president of Garden America, a nationally syndicated radio show. And if you want to give a listen to that, why not? Give it a try and see how you like it. Well, great to have you listening in today. These and all our shows are a team effort. Our producers, Joel Patnaud, Clara Neipert, our technical directors, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins. Our executive producer is Jill Nadeau, and I, of course, am Larry Mueller, and I'm always pleased to do this program myself. Thank you so much for listening, and please stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.